trophy wives of the astronauts, and I won't listen to their words, 'cause I like birds.
I don't care. 590 WKZO, a good Saturday morning, and welcome to Birdwatch, brought to you by Waddell's Nursery, Floral Garden, and Bird Center. And by the River Lake Inn. Joining us, of course, in the studio this morning is Roger Taylor.
How's your day going, Tim?
Oh, it's going just fine.
Having a nice day?
It is.
Everything working fine in your world?
Oh, it sure is.
All right.
Two thumbs up, baby.
I like it. Good morning, everybody.
I like the new version.
Yes, yes. A live version of I Like Birds. The eels, if you're into that. Well, let's do the trivia question right at the get-go, as we normally do. And, of course, the prizes are a bag of Rogers Blend from our friends at Waddell's, the only place you can get Rogers Blend. You also get a gift certificate to the River Lake Inn, where your meal is half price if you take a friend with you. And you get a 2014 Southwest Michigan Land Conservancy calendar. All of that booty be yours if you can tell us, how did the goat sucker family of birds get their name? How did the nightjars, and we call them nightjars, that family in this country, the Europeans refer to them as goat suckers.
Oh, okay.
And why are they called goat suckers? 382-4280. 877-382-4280. If you think you know, how did goat suckers, a family of birds, get that odd name? And even I admit, calling birds goat suckers is peculiar.
Yes.
All right. And so if you know the answer, 382-4280, 877-382-4280.
The first one to give it a try this morning, Chris, right here in Kalamazoo. Good morning, Chris.
Hiya, Chris. How you doing?
I'm fine, Roger. How are you?
I'm fine. You got a guess for us?
I do have a guess, but it's just a guess.
Okay.
Would they have rode on the backs of the goats and maybe pecked at little parasites on them?
No, but that's a very good wrong answer, if you know what I mean. But thanks for giving it a shot, Chris. Appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate the call, Chris. And I was thinking along that same line, you know, maybe they hitchhike on the back of a goat and that type of thing. But okay.
No, but that's a good wrong answer, if you know what I mean.
I'm sorry. 1-877-382-4280 if you think you know the answer to this morning's bird trivia question with Roger Taylor in this morning's edition of Birdwatch.
Why are goat suckers called goat suckers? At least in Europe.
Head down to Portage. See if Donna knows. Good morning.
Hi, Donna.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm ready for the snow to be over, though.
You and me
both.
I'm even looking forward to the start of baseball season. Just to hear something summerish.
Right.
Why are goat suckers called goat suckers?
A folklore tale that they would suck goat's milk.
And we have a winner. What really occurs, and I see this with bluebirds in the pasture behind my house, is the birds were circling the goats who were grazing on the ground because they stir up insects. And my I see bluebirds doing that, sort of following the horses around because the horses disturb insects, get them up where they can see them, and then they eat them. And, but you're right, many people thought they were hanging around the goats to suck, to get goat milk. And so it's a myth, but the name stuck with them. And for getting that right, you get yourself a 20-pound bag of Rogers Blend from Waddell's, a gift certificate to the River Lake Inn, and you get a 2014 Southwest Michigan Land Conservancy calendar.
Thank you.
You bet. Hold on. We're going to send you in to Matt. He'll need some information from you. And then dinner for you and the birds is on us.
Thank you.
You bet. Hold on. It's not too late to celebrate Valentine's Day. River Lake Inn is celebrating Valentine's all weekend with special entrees suited just for the occasion. Today and tomorrow, River Lake Inn is featuring its popular filet mignon and lobster tail entree. Other features include New York strip topped with mushrooms and gorgonzola, or a wonderful grilled salmon crowned with tropical fruit. River Lake Inn's full menu and, of course, their wow buffet are available all weekend. Plus, River Lake Inn's signature appetizers and homemade desserts are always a hit. And top off your dining experience, you'll surely want to enjoy a glass of chocolate port. Make your Valentine's Day special all weekend long at the River Lake Inn, surrounded by some of Michigan's most scenic countryside. It's the perfect spot for great food, quiet, romantic dinners. For reservations and details, directions if you need them, go to riverlakeinn.com or give them a call at 269-432-2626.
Outdoor cats risk injury, disease, or getting hit by cars, and millions of small birds and other animals are killed each year by outdoor cats. Your outdoor cat can find plenty of entertainment indoors. For more information and a teacher's guide, see American Bird Conservancy's website at www.abcbirds.org. Make the world a safer place for cats and birds. Keep your cat indoors.
Do you have the I can't wait to garden itch? Gardeners of all ages are itching to get their hands dirty and to plant something. Now's the time to start the planting season by browsing the seed department at Waddell's Garden Center. There you'll find the best selection around. And this week, all seeds are 30% off. Choose seeds by Burpee, the Cook's Garden, Fairy Morris, Botanical Interests, and more. There's even a selection designed especially for kids to allow them to grow and enjoy plants. To get an idea of what vegetables and herbs you'd like to include in your garden, visit with Waddell's gardening experts. Want to get started now? Get efficient grow light bulbs and grow indoors year-round. Waddell's new grow light bulbs have 10,000 hours of life. That's 9 years based on 3 hours a day with an estimated energy cost of just $3.85 a year. To learn more how to get a head start on your spring gardens, come to Waddell's this morning at 10:30 for a seminar entitled 7 Steps for Seed Starting Success. Karen Anderson will help you pick out seed varieties, explain lighting, and answer your questions. 10:30 this morning at this free seminar. Get a head start on your gardens with friendly advice. And don't forget, this week, all of your vegetable and flower seeds are 30% off at Waddell's Nursery, Florist and Garden Center, and Bird Store on Texas Drive at the corner of Milam and 12th Street.
I can't look at the rocket launch, the trophy wives of the astronauts, and I won't listen to to their words, 'cause I like birds.
590 WKZO, as we continue with this morning's edition of Bird Watch. Comments or questions, 382-4280-1877, 382-4280. Without any hesitation, let's head to the phones in Kalamazoo. We have Jack. Good morning, Jack. You're on 590 WKZO.
Good morning, Jack. Good morning, guys.
How are you?
I'm glad it's not snowing hard and the sun is coming up. So.
Yes.
I've got a question. I'm a little bit late on this.
Mm-hmm.
Goes back to the Super Bowl. I was wondering about the family, and the question is on Seahawks as to the family, and do they only originate on coastal areas?
Yes. There are yes, in answer to your question, the hawks that are involved in maritime activities are not seagoing birds, so they are coastal birds by definition.
About the size, please.
That choked me up. Excuse me. They vary in size by species. I'm not that familiar with them because we don't see any of them in our part of the country. And so I would have to look at a field guide to be able to answer specific questions on them.
Would I be right in thinking that they're very popular now in Seattle?
I'm thinking that would be a safe bet, but if you know anybody in Seattle, call them and ask.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
You bet.
All right, appreciate the call, Jack. Thanks a lot. Head up to Hickory Corners. Richard calling in. Good morning. You're on 590 WKZO.
How's things in Hickory Corners this morning?
Deep.
You're talking about the snow, I hope.
Yes. Roger, I have a question that has been bothering me for some time. We used to have pileateds come in here, and I could be in a hot tub, and they'd come right to the suet. And they're still around, but they've kind of forgiven me or something. They just don't want our suet. I grew up in Sheboygan County, up at the Straits.
Uh-huh.
And we had a lot of whippoorwills, talking about goat suckers.
Yeah.
And I love the sound of the whippoorwill.
Yeah.
And some people don't. But I have a neighbor up there. I have a cabin up in the Baldwin area. And the whippoorwill always sits out across the street from him, you know, 300-400 feet.
Uh-huh.
And sings literally all night long.
You bet.
And I told him, I said, you know, I wish you'd send him down here.
Right.
I'll bring him down there all right by the feet. Anyway, I figured, well, and I have a identifier. And so I thought, well, by golly, I'll call that rascal in.
Uh-huh.
And I've tried to no avail. He loves that spot over there where he's singing. I tried the same thing with the pileateds, and to no avail. Tell me, I know they're territorial, these birds, and am I doing the wrong thing by telling them, oh, gee, that territory is taken, so I can't go in there?
No. But because you're far enough away, they don't see you as a threat to their territory. The singing by the whippoorwill and, in general, all birds is based on guarding a territory by their song. And you're using your identifier. Yeah, you sound like another bird, but you're far enough away that they don't think of you as a threat to their territory. And so you would have to get closer to the bird, I'm thinking, to get them to react to you. It's not they don't want to know there's another bird in their neighborhood. It's they want to make sure you're not in their territory. And unless you're in their territory, they're not likely to respond to you. They just think of you as a neighbor.
And back to the pileated for a moment.
Uh-huh.
In other words, it's quite possible they may say, well, gee, that area is taken, so I'll stay over here by the creek or something.
That's possible. Birds have individual personalities just the way people do. And you may have had a bolder bird at one time that felt comfortable coming right up to your suet feeder, close to human activity. And maybe the pileated or pileated that you have now is a little more shy and retiring and hesitant to come. But just as birds come in different sizes and colors, they come with different personalities as well. And you may just have a shyer, more retiring pileated. It also could be the opposite sex. Maybe the pileated you're seeing and hearing now is a female. There's any number of variables that could be involved in this.
Okay, my friend. Hey, I'll let you go. Thank you for the comments and advice.
Yeah.
All right.
You bet. Have a good one.
You betcha. Bye-bye.
And as we were leading up to the beginning of Birdwatch, I was talking about being excited about the beginning of baseball season because it means spring is coming. Well, one of the, for birders, more exciting things is here in the next week, or maybe a few days more, we'll see hummingbirds start coming across the Gulf of Mexico. And the hummers will arrive along the Gulf Coast from Florida through, well, where Alabama touches the Gulf and Louisiana and even into eastern Texas. And another way to think spring is coming after this long winter we've endured is the fact that you can document the hummingbird migration and actually watch it taking place. And the website to go to is hummingbirds, plural.
Plural.
Yes, hummingbirds.
More than one.
More than one. Okay. .net. And a friend in St. Louis, Louisiana, spent his entire Coast Guard career working the Mississippi River and developed a strong affection for hummingbirds. And Lanny has run hummingbirds.net for, oh my gosh, 20 years or longer. And you can compare this year's migration to previous year's migrations. You can see if the cold weather is retarding their northward advancement. And just the fact that you can see hummingbirds returning to North America will help you dig your way out of, no pun intended, the snow pile that we've been in here that it seems like for months on end. One more thing, hearing reports of robins showing up in neighborhoods and people wondering if that's early. Well, yes, and the cause is the really severe winter we've had. And robins and bluebirds that winter here stay in the deep woods, and the deep woods are beginning to run out of food.
Oh.
some of it hidden under the snow. Mm-hmm. And but birds have to up their caloric intake just to stay warm in the cold weather we've had. And so they've been eating more. And part of the reason we're seeing robins and bluebirds coming into suburban neighborhoods is in search of plantings that still have fruit on them. And let this be a lesson to you as we head into the spring planting and landscaping season, and consider those plantings that hold fruit into winter, and perhaps next year or the year after, you may see robins coming early and bluebirds in neighborhoods where you don't normally see them nest, just looking for something to eat. And so as we get into the spring gardening season, think about planting shrubs and bushes and trees that hold fruit into the winter. Some of the bird neighbors you have will just love that.
All right, that'll wrap up this week's edition of Birdwatch with Roger Taylor. Let's do this again next Saturday morning, shall we?
I'm thinking we should.
All right, that we will then. We'll plan at it. Mark the calendar next Saturday morning. First half of the 8 o'clock hour, Birdwatch on 590 WKZO. Brought to you by Waddell's Nursery, Floral Garden, and Bird Center, and by the River Lake Inn. Check of local news with John McNeil from the WKZO.com newsroom, and we'll be joined then by Greg Crawford of Crawford Brothers Modelers, today's edition of Around the Home on 590 WKZO. Also take a check of that complete AccuWeather forecast. We're expecting to see some sunshine today, but the snow showers, they'll return for tonight. 13 degrees right now in Kalamazoo, 590 WKZO.